Blog Talk Radio.
Astrology, and this first hour we are action-packed with a famous astrologist. I just adore him and love him. He is my astrologist, and his name is Ron Cole. I'm going to let you say hello to Ron in just a few minutes, but you know me, I can't keep my mouth quiet, and so I'm going to keep telling you about myself and about the shows we have today. So again, that song Aquarius, just like I said, it sends shivers up all of my chakras. But anyway, again, my name is Bonnie Albers. It's Bonnie Albers on Air. I am a spirit medium. I'm also a nurse, a legal nurse consultant, and I'm a counselor. I love using all my gifts to but the one thing that just makes me happy and full of life is spirit. And I love being a spirit medium. You won't see that today because I am the host of this show and we are featuring an astrologer. Again, Ron Cole is a famous astrologer. He's got at least, I'm not going to say because then it will tell his age, but he has got so many years of experience. He teaches astrology also. He's a fabulous soul, and I'm going to tell you how to reach him. I just want to say hello to Ron. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Bonnie. A pleasure to hear your voice today.
Oh, thank you. Let me tell everybody, I do have to tell you, also, we have two great girls in chat today. So all you people in chat, Susan Z, my co-host on Monday and Tuesday, we call each other Lucy and Ethel. And, of course, she's Ethel and I'm Lucy, and she can't say anything because she's not on the air with me today. She's going to be in chat in just a few minutes. I think she'll be on about quarter after one. So please visit Susan Z in chat. And we also have the famous Kelly Coulter. She is going to be next at 2 to 3. She reads Atlantean life cards, and she will be taking your calls. But Kelly, if you can hear me, because I see you on the board, you need to also take chat. So you're going to have some great girls in chat for all you chatters out there. And Ron, he also can be reached at livingastro@aol.com. It's livingastro@aol.com. Ron does readings. He does them, and he sends you the readings. He does them by phone. He's a fabulous, fabulous guy. I can't tell you enough about him because I think I see him all the time, and I make him read my chart always. So today we're going to talk about all different parts of astrology, but I do want you to know for all the callers out there, we have line up of people that Ron is going to read, and I will read the next person at the end of the show who will get a reading next week by Ron. But I am going to tell you, and I hope many aren't disappointed because I never do this, but you're going to hear my chart today. So don't everybody go, oh, and I want you to hear my chart. So we're going to do mine, and the reason is because I didn't announce who the next person would be, and Ron already has my chart. So, Ron, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, despite the fact that it's cold here in Florida today, going down to freezing tonight, but that's no problem. The sun has moved into Aquarius since our last show, and that's the sign of the new age.
I love that. And, Ron, I've got to tell you something. I know I probably at each time you call in and each time we do the show, I tell you I love that song. But I got to ask you something because I really want to know if whoever wrote this song really knew what they were talking about. They say, and there's the line, when the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, what would happen if the moon was in the seventh house and Jupiter did align with Mars? They say there'll be peace in the planet. But does that really coordinate with the song, or did they just actually say it just to say it?
Actually, it is astrological language that's kind of said to be just like you said, say it. It is not really that rare because, in fact, every single day, the moon will spend about 2 hours going through the seventh house as the earth turns and brings the astrological planetary bodies through the various houses. So that's a daily occurrence. And Jupiter aligning with Mars is kind of very backwards. Normally it would be Mars aligning with Jupiter because Mars is the fastest moving planet or faster of the two. And so Mars would catch up with Jupiter faster than Jupiter aligning with Mars. And the only way that Jupiter may align with Mars is if Mars is retrograding or backing up slowly and Jupiter was moving forward and catches up with it. So while that sounds very complicated, everybody, that really means that the wordings used in Aquarius actually are not that rare. They can be a daily occurrence with the moon in the seventh house.
Well, maybe that's why I think that, and I'm going to say I think Aquarius was played in the Broadway show Hair, and I think everybody
that's
was
right.
Naked there. So, you know, I mean, everybody may be naked every couple hours of the day anyway, so maybe that's a great song to have there. But I just had to
That's a good idea.
I mean, you know, because it's like if it took 30 years, being naked for 30 years might not be the thing you want to do. But I just had to say that because it just reminded me, I all of a sudden hair started coming back to me. But, Ron, I want to talk today about what the age of Aquarius means. And I know we kind of touched on it, and I'm going to let you – or actually, before we get into that, we wanted to talk about aspects because I think that's where we left off last week. And what is an aspect, and why do we want to explain aspects?
Well, this is a very, very important foundation energy in astrology. Aspects are how an astrologer partly reads an astrology chart for an individual. They are distance angular energy between planets. Now, let me try to explain that more easily. They are the distance one planetary body is from another. And at certain distances, there is a disharmonic or clashing energy. And at other distances, there is a flow or harmonic positive energy. And depending on how one planet is angled, so to speak, with another, this creates what we call an aspect. And we have four foundation aspects in astrology called the conjunction, the sextile, the square, the trine. And actually there's another one, the opposition. Now those are just names for people that have never studied astrology, but they are all based on distances one planet is from another. And Bonnie, I want to share with you and everyone a scientific study that was not meant to be astrologic, but was based basically on angular relationship of light that took place in the late 1950s. Angular relationship of light, the way a light bombarded, or should I say the way a light proceeded to enter a place at a certain set angle. And this was not meant to be astrological in research, but it actually proved astrology's understanding of aspects. In this period of this experiment, this was conducted in an enclosed room by scientists, and one whole wall of this room had cubicles. Cubicles big enough so that they could put small animals in one, a plant in another, a different small animal in another. And they were literally floor-to-ceiling cubicles of these living things. And what they did, since this was an enclosed room, they could control the way light would enter each of these cubicles. So first, they took an angled light coming into each cubicle at a 120 degrees angle. Now, that in astrology is considered the best aspect of all, 120 degrees apart from one planet to planet. That's called the trine. And something very interesting happened. When light entered these cubicles, it just illuminated the entire cubicle from bottom to top. Animals thrived. Plants grew even though they didn't have direct plant light, like that purple light we call plant lights today. Animals, their hair grew thicker and faster. Their appetite was better. And all they did then, after a short time, was change the angle of the light entering each cubicle to an angle of 90 degrees. That's like the corner of a square. Each little tip there is 90 degrees around that corner. And the light entered each cubicle and made like a little puddle on the bottom floor, and it did not go anywhere else. Animals started to get sick very quickly because all they were under was in constant bombardment of this 90-degree angled light. They began quickly losing hair. They began losing appetite. Plants started to wither and die. And scientists did not change the temperature, did not affect anything else other than the angle that the light came in each little cubicle compartment. And they began to realize that the angle that light enters or bombards something, or the distance of it, will indicate harmony or disharmony. And this is exactly what astrology has been saying for centuries. Planets that are at 90 degrees or right angles to each other are in their most stressful or disharmonious energy to each other. And planets that are 120 degrees and to understand what that means, if one would draw an equal lateral triangle and you'd go around each tip from one line around the tip to the other line, you'd travel 120 degrees. That is the angle of harmony, of positiveness, the luckiest or most flowing, life-producing, abundant-producing energy of all. And so in this experiment, Bonnie, they discovered that this actually linked to an astrological axiom of centuries and centuries of understanding.
Wow. I got to tell you, Ron, and I guess I, you know me, I always try to butt in here, but do you think that if they put me in an aspect of 120 degrees that my hair would grow? Because I love hair, and I don't know. I need more hair to grow. I mean, I do have long hair, but I like it to be a little thicker. So you were saying that they put these animals in the cubbyholes and that they grew and flourished. Just think, if I went into one of those cubbyholes, would my hair grow and I would flourish?
Well, one was supposed to be constantly, constantly bombarded with an angular entry of 120 degrees to be bathed in that light source. The angle of that light, in fact, comes in on a constant basis.
I love
that. That's why this experiment had produced action really quickly, because the angle was not shifted from moment to moment. It was a constant source of entry light. And It's never been experimented on a human being, but why could it not be tried? I would certainly not recommend a 90-degree angle light bombardment, but 120 could be very conducive, I could only assume.
I know. Well, you know what? I've got to say something, Ron, because maybe this is what it is. They have like a light, they say they put it on people who do not have hair, are like bald or, you know, balding, and they put them under a light. So I wonder if they just took that aspect and put the light. You know, now that I'm thinking, all these, you know, like hair grow places might want to try it, because if that is true and that these aspects, I mean, I so believe in the pull and energy of astrology that maybe we ought to incorporate this into different daily life, you know, situation. So I say if you're out there and you are a hair-growing place, try the aspect 120 degrees and put the light on your people and see what happens, because that would be very interesting.
It must be a fixed light. It can't be moved. The person can't move and change the angle. And also it has to be applied for a period of time. So in other words, it isn't just 1 second. Although every second you're under that angle, it's positive, but it's a cumulative. And so this just shows that there are things in nature that when they are angled to each other in a certain way, there's a natural harmony, positiveness, and abundant producing energy. And when they're angled in another way, there is disharmony, negativity, and stress.
Ooh. That's interesting. That is so interesting, because, you know, we've been trying for so long, you know, because I am big with astrology, and then astronomers say, oh, astrology doesn't exist. And I laugh, because what were they doing before astronomy is astrology? For I can't even tell you why I still haven't figured out that they don't realize that they grew off astrology and not the other way around. It's just interesting to me, don't you think?
It is true. That is true. Astrology is the father of modern-day astronomy. And many people will get more and more fascinated with it when they begin to see things like Stonehenge and other places in the world built by ancient peoples who were all geared for the rising of the sun on the summer solstice, the winter solstice, the angular distances. And scientists and researchers just say, oh, well, these people were just fascinated by the sun, or they may have worshipped it, or they may have used this for their crops. But actually, why go to all this trouble to move huge stones, create massive stone structures, massive stone buildings, and massive things that there is angular lineups with the sun, the moon, and if it wasn't for an astrological-based reason? Now, for example, in Stonehenge, around the outside of Stonehenge a number of years ago, it was discovered that there was a natural placement of holes in the ground. They filled them with chalk today so that everyone would notice and see these holes, and they were called Aubrey holes, named after the discoverer of these holes, Aubrey. And they noticed that every single hole would be the same size, and then suddenly they'd come to a bigger hole. And then it'll be same size, and then a bigger hole. Well, it was determined that there was a post or stick put in each hole whenever there was a lunar cycle. And they would advance it to the next hole, the next lunar cycle. And the next hole, the next lunar cycle. But whenever an eclipse was coming up, the stick would be placed in a hole that would be a big hole. They had already predetermined that when the stick arrives at that point, there is going to be an eclipse. And they literally were predicting eclipses completely in advance and in a completely rhythmic way. Now, why go to all that trouble if it was just for crops or just for your curiosity? Ancient peoples understood that human life has an interconnection with all existing energies in our solar system.
I love that. I mean, like I said, I think astrology gets more fascinating, and I guess that's why it takes so long to understand it, Ron, because, you know, I told you I bought the Idiot's Guide to Astrology, which just tells you about houses, aspects, and it really, it took me, I think, to even read the first chapter.
Well, the Idiot's Guide is a good book.
I know. Well, that, you know, I believe in the Idiot's Guide. One is because it's fast. It usually is concise, and it gets rid of all, for me, the clutter that you really have to know, but that if you're just dabbling in it, you don't have to know right away. And it just piques your interest. And I did read the Idiot's Guide to Astrology, and let me tell you, I don't want to call myself an idiot because I've got too many letters after my name, but I think I was reading that book because it took me, I had to read the book four times to even start to understand what aspects and trines and squares and what your houses mean. It's so in-depth. Why would anybody have made that up just to do what? So that's what's so interesting to me about astrology. It's so many parts to it that there is no way somebody could have just thrown that together and called it astrology. So,
you know, Bonnie, I remember my first class in astrology, my first attending class, I went to an astrology college, and its whole purpose was to teach various levels of astrology with the eventual, if you stay and study long enough, degree in completion. Well, the first class and the first day I went into, I was the only person in that room, in that class, that had never been exposed to professional astrology before, only sun signs. And we purchased our books that day. And one book is called an ephemeris, and it's a listing of the planets day by day, each month, for many years. And I opened this up, and here was this bombardment of small little printed numbers in columns in such a complex way that I said, I don't think I will ever learn this. This is unbelievably complex. Then here comes another book called A Table of Houses that tells you how to find the ascendants or rising signs. That was so complex when I opened it, I just closed the book. And then we got two other books, one on time changes in case there is daylight time or war time on. You have to take that into account when you set up a chart. And then a final book on latitudes and longitudes of various cities. Well, those are easy to understand, but when I saw those first two books, I thought this is going to really be something to take on. It took me a while. It took me a while. It wasn't just overnight. But step by step, this all falls into place, and you begin to understand the machinations of astrology. And it is indeed a science that has its own rules, its own terms, its own bylaws, and it's quite fascinating.
I know. Let me tell you, Ron, when you open those books, and by the way, everyone who's listening, I've been there when you open those books, it was so mind-boggling for me, I just didn't even want to look at them. But I there's something else I would like to try to touch on today, and that is, and we've tried to touch on it, but we're always talking, or I can't shut my mouth, one or the other. But I love what the ages mean. I know we're in the age of Aquarius, but there's other ages, and we still didn't get in depth about what the age of Aquarius. We did talk about communication and that it was going to go light years. And I think I really did say that I thought by the end of the Aquarian age that we weren't even going to be, that part of our brain would be open because we only use 10%. And I hope that we open it up a little, and maybe that's to spirit, the spirit world, and all that the universe has to offer. But I do believe that, you know, we're going to go to a telepathic way of being, and I believe it's going to be towards the end of the Aquarian age. What was the age after Aquarian? Like, what was the age before Aquarian? Because we weren't
it
alive then.
It was the age
then,
of Pisces.
So.
It was
okay,
Pisces.
And what does Pisces?
Well, that is an age that is connected to belief system, religion, and connections to higher forces in a unified way, such as in a religious church or religion, so to speak. Pisces has a key phrase associated with it called I believe, and Aquarius has a key phrase, I know. And so we've moved from an age of believing to an age of knowing. So the 2,100 years before very recent times, all that period before this, we were in the Piscean Age, and that was when world religions manifested and became more organized. That's when avatars, messiahs, saviors manifested. That's when religion started and grew, because it was an age of manifesting the power of the connection between the soul and God, the connection between the self and higher powers. And that was one age, and then before that, we were in the age of Aries, the ram. And that was pretty much during the timing of the start of early Rome and into Rome. And Aries is a very aggressive sign. It's a very straightforward sign. It's a very military-like sign ruled by the planet Mars, the god of war. And so we had the military movements of Rome, we had the militarization of Rome expanding its empire throughout so much of the European and North African and Middle Eastern world. And we have so much energy that was very Aries-like. And then even earlier than that, thousands of years before that, we had the age of Taurus. And we still had holdovers or beginnings of that age, rather, at the time of the ancient Israelites, when they were worshiping the golden bull. Taurus's symbol is a bull. We also have images of that held over in Crete, where you have wall paintings thousands of years old that showed young men running at a bull, grabbing its horns, and flipping their body over a bull, and the image of the Minotaur, the half bull, half man in Crete. So all of these ages have an impact in the energy manifestation of the world. Now, the thing that's different about us now is we are in an age that's not symbolized by an animal, but by a human figure. We're not symbolized by fish, by a ram, or a bull. We're symbolized by a human being pouring water from a jug, or should I say more like an old urn, onto half land and half water, like at the water's edge. And that is always an age of escalation in human awareness, intelligence, consciousness, and inventions, because this is a sign particularly connected with human evolution. And
since this age started,
we've had all these things come in our lives, see? We've had the electronic revolution, computers, all these things.
That is so fascinating, Ron. I know I'm talking over you, but it's just falling out of my mouth. And, you know, I just have to tell you another thing before we go, because I want to see what's next. It's just amazing to me, because I never really put all of those ages together. And because I keep thinking, oh, my goodness, if the age of Capricorn comes, we all better hide under our bed. But, no, I'm only kidding. If you're Capricorn, you're
that
a wonderful
one's
person.
Next.
But. Okay, well, I just have to tell you this. I do have a spirit with me, and I do want to say they say that they are so proud of him. I'm so proud of him. So you know who this is, Ron. And she looked at me and says, it's one of your relatives. And she said, he is so smart as she was listening to you speak. So I just had to tell you that because they were on top of me here a little bit today, and I did want to bring that through for you. But I do want to talk about the next stage too. But anyway, the reason I interrupted you, and I am so rude, is the fact that it is just so amazing how you can put all this together. Like, I'm thinking to myself, I know that I'm the queen energy, and I was in Roman times. And everybody listening to me always knows that I, if you have heard any of my past lives, that Cleopatra is the one that resonates with me. So when you mentioned Rome, I just glittered all over. But that you mentioned all of the what would go on in these different ages is just so fascinating because you're right. When Aries took over, there was war. There was constant war, it seemed like. And when you were going backwards, and I was seeing all the ages coming straight forward, and this leads to right now the Enlightenment. And this is why all the shows are on, why this is such a fabulous time for mediums, psychics, crystal healers, angelic, astrologers. Everybody seems to be fascinated, paranormal, open to all of this, and it's got to be because of the Aquarius age, don't you think?
It is absolutely due to the Aquarius age. And one comment, people say to me, well, how does an age happen? It is not just us moving around a fixed sun in the middle of our solar system. It is also the sun and all of our planets, including us, the Earth, moving in a big circle, in a grand circle that takes 26,000 years to move around in one circle. We call that a grand year or a grand circle or a great year. Different names are applied to it. And each time you are in a sign of the zodiac, it takes the entire solar system 2,160 years to move through it, and then it enters next age.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Ron, I'm really happy because I don't think I'll be born, or I don't think I'll be alive, at least on the physical plane, in the age of Capricorn. But I will maybe be back. You never know. Tell us what to look for and why I cringe. You know, I have a lot of Capricorn friends, so they all know that I'm teasing. But what is the Capricorn age next? We're going to go into all of the metaphysical right now. What's next for us in 2,100 years?
Interestingly enough, we're moving from an age now ruled by Uranus, discovery of the human being, unleashing hidden talents or repressed abilities, and evolving quickly and rapidly like time speeds up. Capricorn is ruled by Saturn, and that starts slowing things down. That starts crystallizing things. That starts making things become more down to earth, more orderly, more organizationally, more directed towards rising together in unification and power rather than individual freedom of the self. So it emphasizes organizations. It represents one to another. It represents coming out of an age of great power of the human condition because Aquarius is an air sign. That's true. I was about to say that, but a sign symbolized by a human being, where we're back to symbolized age by an animal. In this case, it's the goat or mountain goat, or sometimes the chimera, depending on who uses the symbol for Capricorn. So we're coming back into an age symbolized by an animal in 2,100 years, and that means we have to really profit, stabilize, utilize, and complete the knowledge that Aquarius will help in the evolution of the human being so that we don't start to repress it, lose it, or be overridden by governments, laws, and powerful organizations to stop us when we get into the age of Capricorn.
That is why Capricorn and Saturn, that was it, because, you know, I'm never grounded. I think we're going to go into my chart, but I don't even think I have. I think I have one earth sign. I am so water and fire that I guess when something tries to start to ground me, any of the grounding signs, I want to fight and come out kicking and screaming. So I do know, Ron, that you're ready to do and share with all my listeners and callers my chart.
Yes, and you are right. You only have one planet in an earth sign, and that's Jupiter in Virgo. The earth signs are Capricorn, Virgo, and Taurus, and that's the one Earth-based planet, but your chart is heavily expressed in the fire energy. Fire signs are Leo, Sagittarius, and Aries. And in Leo, for example, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 planets.
That's amazing.
5 planets. 5 planets in Leo, excuse me, not 6. You have 6 fire signs, but 5 of them are in Leo, and the 6th one is by having Saturn in Sagittarius. So this means, Bonnie, you've come into this incarnating life to work heavily with the energies and characteristics of fire and its meaning. Fire is energy, period. It is leadership in many ways. It is inspirational to others, to inspire others on, whether it's a business meeting that gives everyone that rah, rah, let's go out and get them type of attitude. Fire is very infectious and can get people really ready to go, or it can just be a catalyst to speed up other people from getting them out of the doldrums and getting them into activation for what they're capable of doing in life. Fire is associated with traveling and travel, movement, action. It's associated with sports and sportsmanship. It's involving all types of competitive games, whether it is the Olympics or whether it is sitting down at a table and playing a game of cards with someone else. So fire is connected to energy between one person to other people and between one individual being a great motivator to motivate others to get up and go. Now, Leo is where you have your fire energy the strongest by having 5 planets there. Do you mind if I say the planets, although I won't say the degrees? Do you mind that, Bonnie?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. Ron, you know what? I share it with everybody. Everybody knows I'm an open book. Please, I know there are people here or listening, and I have friends that would love to know where I get, one, my personality, and probably, 2, my gumption. So please tell everybody anything on my chart. You are welcome to share anything on my chart, please.
Well, I will say for your reading and anybody else's reading, I will never reveal their birth date, month, day, and year. I'll never tell their birth city or time. That's private information. But with your Leo placements, you have Mercury in Leo, Uranus in Leo, Mars in Leo, Venus in Leo, and Pluto in Leo. And you used the word gumption a moment ago. That's a good word for that combination of planets. If you look at Leo, it's the sign of being a leader. It's a sign that has been in historical times associated with power and empowerment. Now, that indicates that you've come into this lifetime with a great degree of drive, not only for being a natural-born leader, but being a catalyst to get other people action-orientated and going and developing and releasing the best that they are capable of being. That's why I said a person with a lot of fire signs, especially Leo, if they do a business meeting at the beginning of a day, by the time that meeting is over, every individual who sat listening to the head of that business meeting will be motivated and be ready to go and be fired up. Now, fire in nature can act like a forest fire or a field fire and burn quickly. And that's why it's an infectious energy, but not like an illness is infectious. It's an infection to stir up and bring forth action and activity from other people. So people with a lot of fire signs like you have that ability to be that catalyst for others to just click and open and listen and respond to and start doing and being motivated. Now, Leo is so much associated with the ability to be leadership orientated that I'm going to tell you about your ascendant in a moment, and I'm going to tie in this Leo energy. When you were born, Sagittarius was the sign coming up over the eastern horizon in your birth
Yay!
City. As the earth was turning, it was bringing Sagittarius over that edge of the
I
earth.
I love that.
Now that's your rising
yeah.
sign, your ascendant. And guess what? It's a fire sign. Saturn, which was in Sagittarius, had already risen into the sky overhead. It was in the low eastern sky. It was not below the horizon, but it had already risen. And the middle part of Sagittarius was coming up over the eastern horizon. Now, whatever is on the horizon, we call it the ascendant or rising sign, has always had from historical times in astrology through today, we understand has always had an impact on how a person looks to others in the world, how they come across, what they physically look like, what kind of personality others see around them, what kind of manifesting vibration that you pick up about them. And this explains why two parents, same mother, same father, same genetic contribution, could have one child who's very tall, could have another child that could have light hair, reddish hair, or blondish hair, and could have another child that's average in height and dark-haired. The various physical unique appearances of each individual is determined by what is the rising sign and any planets in the first house that are affecting or near the rising sign. And so what's interesting is Sagittarius has so much in common with Leo because it's a sign of thinking big and looking at the big picture and not just looking at the mundane, average foundation level, but seeing beyond it and thinking to the next higher level. It's a sign of higher consciousness, use of the higher mind, and use of philosophy and understanding things in a larger, bigger way. Interestingly enough, Bonnie, I may have said this in the past show, but if not, I want to repeat this. The rising sign has always been the thing of extreme importance in astrology, even more than what we today call sun sign astrology. The stuff like, well, what's your sign? That's only a new thing in society and in the world in the last 100 years. But all the centuries before this, whatever was coming over the edge of the horizon was the most important thing, your rising sign. So much so that in a Middle Eastern country of centuries ago, a child was being born to the king, the potentate, and that child was going to be the next ruler of that country. And the king knew by the astrological calculations of his astrologers that that child is now being born when the sign of Cancer was rising. And he did not like that because in his view, Cancer is associated with the mother, the home, the family, domesticity, emotionality, and he wanted that child to have Leo rising, not Cancer. And after Cancer, Leo becomes the next descendant. Well, while the queen was giving birth and the child was starting to come out, it was very, very late degrees of Cancer. And if only a short period of time could be ascertained in the king's mind, that child would have Leo rising, not Cancer. He literally, this is the king now, held the head of the child and the birthing of the child back in the mother's body until he knew astrologically that Leo was rising now, no longer Cancer. And he wanted that child to have Leo rising and be a king and be a ruler.
Wow.
And that's how astrology was so ascertained to be serious, that Leo would give the image, the vibration, the public view, the energy of being a leader because it's on the horizon, where Cancer would give more a home person, a nice sign, a wonderful sign, but very connected to everyone in almost a family way, not the role of being a king. So astrology has always had an importance on what the chart shows and what the planets are and what's coming over the eastern horizon. So your soul came into this lifetime to work on fire energies, on the energy of all the things we said. However, there needed to be some anchoring and some tempering because all of this fire energy could get too much, can be burnout and can become too fiery. So you were born under the sun sign of Cancer. You were born in July when the sun was still in the astrological sign of Cancer, and that's your anchor. But not only being an anchor, it's also your key to metaphysics, your key to spirituality, your key to psychism, your key to the New Age, because it's one of the three signs associated with spirituality. Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces are water signs, and they're related to not only emotions of self, they're also related to understanding intuition and understanding spirituality and being psychic. And so this anchored you, this breath, a certain amount of that extreme amount of fire empowerment down to some type of rooting or securification in the chart. So it was very, very good that you would be born under the sign of Cancer and have all of these fire signs. Because,
isn't
Bonnie,
amazing,
I've seen
Ron?
So many charts. Oh, sorry, what were you saying?
I said, isn't that amazing? Because you do know me, and if there, and I always say I never feel like a Cancer. I always feel like a Sagittarius or a Leo, but that I must have Cancer because of the psychic abilities that come along with that sign. And you know I say that because I'm not the best extract. I mean, I so don't resonate with the sign of Cancer. But when I look at what you say, yeah, now I understand.
But see, Bonnie, I've seen too many charts in the years I've done readings that had all, for example, all these fire signs, fire, 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 and then the sun is in a fire sign. There was no anchoring. There was no rooting. There was no way to anchor that fire. It was almost a fire out of control. It was almost a fire like a raging forest fire, and nothing could stop it. There was too much fire. Now, I'm not being critical, because that soul needed that kind of pattern to be born into this lifetime. There are, first of all, no mistakes. People are born into a chart pattern that their soul needs to work with in this lifetime. There's no such thing as a heavenly computer assigning you to have this chart and this other person this other chart. Your soul is experiencing patterns of energy, and the energy is shown in the astrology chart like a grid system or incarnating pattern as to what this life is meaning for them. So first of all, everything associated with fire is probably going to be the strongest understanding unfoldment that you're working with in this lifetime. You do have that one Earth planet, Jupiter, in Virgo, and that's good because, again, you'd have to have some grounding from another way, from not having an element missing. And there are four elements, fire, water, earth, and air. And Jupiter is your grounding for the earth energy. It brought that position of having earth connected with at least one planet. And interesting, it's the biggest planet in our solar system. And then your moon was in Aquarius when you were born. Now that's another key for you to be open to New Age unfoldment, spirituality, and being in a certain rhythmic way connected to understanding the age of Aquarius by having your moon there, because that is the ruling planetoid of Cancer. And anybody born under the astrological sun sign of Cancer, which we all know because we know those columns from the year we're born at, normally it's June 21st to July 21st, but sometimes the sun doesn't enter it till June 22nd, and in a few rare cases, June 20th. But during that 1 month, the moon is the ruler of that sign. And so when a person is born under Cancer, even though it's just the sun, you have to look at where the moon is in the chart, because that is the connected ruler to their sun. And you've got it in the sign of the New Age, the sign of that song, Aquarius. And
yay!
Not only do you have the psychic ability with Cancer, Aquarius is another way of dealing with the metaphysical. It's dealing with energy vibration. It's dealing with frequency vibration. Aquarius, for example, rules electricity. It rules radio waves, TV waves, any kind of wavelength of things. And it's the sign of helping individuals become their own master. And I don't mean that this is flying in the face of God, but rather helping an individual to come to understand the capacities and talents that they have that they're not aware of, or to bring an ability that latently inside that person up to their consciousness and up to their surface so they understand it and can pursue it. So that's another thing you're good at doing. You're very good in helping people help themselves. You're very good in helping people acquire freedom from past conditioning, either from their parents or their belief system or a spouse, from changing that to opening up to a healthier, positive flow and way of believing. Because Aquarius is a human sign. It wants to help the individual. It wants to help their fellow human beings. But it wants to help them by having that person acquire greater knowledge, greater insight, greater ability about what they're capable of doing. It's the sign of discovery. So whether you can see into a person that they have a talent to play the piano, even though they've never touched a piano key in their life, and you mention that to them, they could end up being a great pianist in their life by you being the catalyst to see into them. Aquarius can see in a certain X-ray-like way into people, and it sees what they're capable of being. And as such, it deals with an energy vibration, see?
You know what? I mean, Ron, you know me, and that is so me. I love what I do, and you know me in metaphysics. I can't get enough of it. I can't get enough of spirit, which is energy vibration. But I also, and then I'm going to let you talk because, see, it's you, not me, but I do want you to know that it's very important and very wonderful that I could ever help anybody. I always try. I do see the talents of everybody, and I have tried and will always try in this lifetime to make sure that everybody, anybody that I touch or anybody that I talk to, if I see it, bring out the, you know, best in the best of them. And I've always, that's my life. So, yes, you are right, and now I understand, but keep going because I can't wait to hear the rest of this.
Well, with the advent of people born into the world like Carl Jung or Sigmund Freud, these pioneering individuals began to understand the inner workings of the human being and the whole psychological makeup of the individual. And this has revolutionized modern-day astrology because there is actually a house in this wheel, which means a section of this round wheel that deals with the subconscious of the individual. But interestingly enough, that same house deals with past life incarnations. So it's not only just the inner psyche of the individual, the subconscious, it's also what their past life experience was before this lifetime. And that's where you have Saturn. You have Saturn sitting all by itself in that house. And this
I don't like Saturn.
Well, in a way, this can be something you may feel uncomfortable with, but because people generally don't like Saturn because it's not the easiest planet. It's not a warm, fuzzy planet. It's the school of hard knocks. It's strength through strife. You acquire it by your sheer effort and passing of time. It's never given to you in an easy way. But wherever you have Saturn, you have limitations also. And it's sitting in this house of past lives. And Bonnie, you've come out of a previous incarnation right before your life now as Bonnie in which you were either very, very poor, very, very restricted in your freedoms, and or very, very limited in what you can do in the world. There was a great degree of it could be poverty, because Saturn rules poverty. It could be just being in a situation in which there was no freedom, like being born into a family that lived on that same land for centuries, and you continued to live there, and after your life, others lived on that land. There was no movement or going anywhere. There was a sense of being restricted and limited. Now, that's your past. You've earned that, let's put it this way, you've gone through that life very well, and you earn certain positive things by having those lessons in the ago or in the past. In this life, you're coming out to deal with a very, very different lifetime. You're working with the spiritedness of yourself. You're working with energy. You're working with the opening to the metaphysical. You're working with frequency vibrations. You're working with the power to empower others. So one of the reasons why you have a difficult thing with Saturn particularly is it was probably the most dominant energy in your past life's chart. It was an energy of limiting you and restricting you financially and in any other way you could think of. However, beyond you. Pass through that test.
Well, I love that. Do you think you could just kind of circle Saturn and just like cut it out and throw it out of my chart and then put a piece of paper there, please? Because
well,
I
Saturn
don't even
is
want
where we work
it.
Off karma. Saturn's called the Lord of Karma, along with being the great restrictor and the great, you know, taskmaster. Wherever you have Saturn, it's on its highest level. It's to teach us to work off karma, to pay off karma. Karma we've carried forth from past lives to this. Karma we've created or got locked into in this life, and it makes us pay it off. It makes us work it off. It makes us balance it off. And so I can tell you, the life before this one, you were paying off a lot of karma that may have been accumulated karma for centuries and centuries and centuries of past lifetimes, plural. So you made it through that very well, according to this chart, because Saturn makes a good aspect to Mercury and a good aspect to Uranus and a good aspect to Venus, and it's pretty much a well-aspected planet in your chart. Now, you've got Neptune in your house of job and career, and interestingly enough, that's the planet that is the most connected to psychic energy. It's the ruler of Pisces.
Yay!
And Pisces may be the most psychic sign of the zodiac because they've got Neptune on their side. But your Neptune's at 29 degrees. And this is very important for astrologers to understand because the 29th degree is the last degree in an astrology sign. The next notch over will be the next sign of the zodiac. It would start. But this is the last degree of the old sign. It's like New Year's Eve, the last day of the old year. Well, Neptune is at 29 degrees, and that's an interesting energy because it's called an anaretic degree, and this name was given to it by the Arabic astrological astrologers and researchers in the Middle Ages, and they discovered that things at 29 degrees indicate completing something, coming to like a zenith or crescendo. And this is a lifetime in which many, 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 many past lives of opening up your spiritual consciousness, opening up your chakras, dabbling with your gut-level feelings and listening to them, understanding in perhaps a smaller way intuition. This is a life of putting all of that together in one kind of crescendo because it's in your career house. So what you're going to do is not only are you going to unfold yourself in a great way based on all of this accumulated step-by-step of the past lives, you're now focusing it into the world through something like this phone lines that you have and other ways that you could be in the world so that others can also
radio,
have
TV, radio, TV shows. Yes! Go ahead, Ross.
There's
sorry.
A certain mass media connection with Neptune.
Yes, I
and
mean,
you've got it in your
that's
house.
Me. Oh, you know what, Ron? I just want to kiss you and hug you all over because that is really what my dream is, and you know that. My dream is to bring spirit, I always say, to help for the highest and the best, but to bring it to the masses. And I don't really like the word masses, but it just keeps coming to me. It's downloaded from spirit, and that's because mm-hmm. I know and I am so sure that this is going to be taken where everybody can hear it. And that's just, I think, my life's calling. I mean, because here I was a nurse and a counselor, and then I'm a, you know, I always had spirit medium with me, but it unfolded crazily, you know, in my 40s. And, you know, I had it in my 20s, my teens, but I just know I can feel it, and the drivenness is so every day that I can feel it, that I know this career is going to be what I am. So I can't believe that my chart, if I would have known and I would have known you in my teens, then my whole life might have been, I might have changed that chart to just do total metaphysics and TV and radio.
That would have been a very interesting switch back then because you've got Neptune in Libra, the very, very last degree of Libra, which is the scale of balance. Look at the Libra symbol. It's symbolized by balancing dishes, balancing scales, and what that means is you're really working in the spiritual and with the spiritual and with the intuitive to help people balance their world of matter, materialism, mattering, and their world of true inner emotional, spiritual, intuitive self. You're able to help people bring both to equilibrium.
Well, you know, Ron, I always say, and this is so crazy because I know my co-host for Monday and Tuesday, Susan Z, the fabulous Susan Z, we always say we walk in two worlds because she's a counselor and a therapist too. So we always say we take the physical world and the world of spirit, and we walk both lines. So isn't that funny that I have, and she is Libra. So isn't that crazy?
Yes, you not only have this Neptune in Libra, you have the astrological sign of Libra on the beginning of your house of job and career. Now, that also could indicate the phases of your work in your life. The one phase is the nurse, and the one phase with all the energies you just mentioned, and now the other phase of spirit, metaphysics, spirituality, intuitive energy, frequency, vibration. Libra can mean the balancing from one to the other, but it also means you can help people balance spirit and matter, the world of matter, the world of spirit. You can help people never forget that they are a spirit having a physical incarnating experience.
Absolutely. And, you know, I always look at it that we're all spirit, and you know that we're all spirit coming down here for that, you know, for the learning experience. And I think somebody told me, and I won't mention who, but they said that they don't want to come back. You know, they feel like they've done what they needed to do, and they're hoping they stay in the spirit realm. And I said, I love the spirit realm. And they said, oh, no, Bonnie, you like it too much on earth. You're going to bounce around till you can't anymore. So that is so me. And, Ron, I love you, and you know that, and I will see you tomorrow. But our show and my chart has to be folded up until the next time. But I just do want to tell everybody you can reach Ron, because I am telling you he will give you the best reading that you've ever encountered in astrology. He also teaches astrology. And I'm still waiting for the course because, see, I'm a beginner, and he has a lot more people who are much further advanced than I am. So get a hold of Ron at livingastro@aol.com. Ask and sign up for a reading. You won't be sorry. And if you want to take classes or courses from Ron, please get a hold of him. Ron, I love you. You are a treasure, a dream, and you are such a wonderful soul. And I thank you for sharing all your knowledge with everybody out there, because Ron does this out of the goodness of his heart, like we all do. So I'd like everybody to, you know, you could either send Ron an email or just please like us on Blog Talk, because if you do that, that really helps us. And please listen to us and let us know what you want to hear. We're going to keep going through the astrology chart. If there's anything you guys want to know, send me a little email, balbers714@aol.com. Give me your birth date, time, and where you were born. I'll announce who's the next person who gets their reading on the show. And the next person next week is going to be Carrie. She knows who she is. And if you call in Carrie at 1:30 next Wednesday, we will see you here, and you will actually be talking to Ron Cole. So again, thank you, everybody. I love you, and I know I'm going to unmute Kelly because she's just waiting. Thank you, Ron, for being with us, and thank you for sharing your time.
Thank you, Bonnie. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Ron. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Okay, everyone, I have got Kelly.
Hello.
Kelly. Hi, Kelly. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Bonnie.
Did you hear my chart? I know. I mean, he is just so fab. He's just so fab, and I love my chart because, you know, I always found Aries in the first, and he'll laugh and say, no, you're not. Well, you have Aries in the fourth. I'm sorry. Aries in the fourth. Well, you kind of got Aries in the fourth, but that doesn't explain how you are. But he is just such a delight. He's so knowledgeable. And I know you know astrology, too. And so right now, we're going to talk about what you eat. I know you love him. I know. You always tell me, and he appreciates so much. Kelly, I love you, girlfriend. Please tell everybody, this is Kelly Coulter. She is an Atlantean life card reader. I have never even, I can't even say it. It's a mouthful for me. But she's a delight. She's fabulous. She's been doing this a long time. I'm going to have her explain to you what the cards mean. And I want, Kelly, I want you to explain to them, and then she will be taking callers. So everybody on the board, keep coming, and she will be talking to you. Kelly, can you explain and tell people, it's a regular deck. But I'm so, like, in awe. Yeah, I'm so in awe, Kelly, that who invented this deck? Everybody just thinks they play poker and pinochle and fish with it. So I want you to explain.
They do. It's crazy age, too.
I know. Isn't that crazy? And I even know you can read those cards. I'm going to ask you to please tell everybody about yourself and where they can get a hold of you for their readings and what you, and you actually have your own show. So I that you're my one of my co-hosts.
I'm honored. I'm on hiatus for January. January,
okay,
I took off because we're encountering some very interesting. So yeah, we're encountering some very interesting things happening during our little geographical move. It's not far. You'd think that only moving a mile down the road would not have so many things go with it, but we just had a friend who is like, you know, literally next door to us have a baby. Let's see, what was it, on Monday? And in the way that the church folks do out here is they come in for like the first 10 or 11 days and they totally take care of, you know, the mom, all the housework and the cooking and that, and it's like they let the mom rest and whatever. So we've currently kind of got that going on. My daughter took, I'll say, the first shift last night, so I was over here all night with her babies while she was babysitting the new mom.
So, wow. Callie, honey, you better look at your own Lampian life card reading and see what you've got going on, baby cakes. Kelly is wonderful, and she's moving, and I have to tell everybody, she really should have took off the month of January, but she felt obligated to all the callers and listeners because she loves them so much, and she loves this show, and we know she does, and we appreciate it, Kelly, because you rock the house, girlfriend. So if you tell everybody how you read that deck, we can go on because you've got some callers already, girlfriend.
All righty. Sounds good. Well, it's what's interesting, they kind of start out and they say the deck of cards is actually our calendar. And the way they kind of get with that, you know, you think about it, there's 52 cards in the deck. There's 52 weeks in the year. When you, numerically, when you add 5 and 2, it adds up to 7. So we have the 7 days of the week. The 4 suits represent our 4 seasons. The hearts are spring. The clubs represent, and that's people who are pretty much youthful all their life. That's our younger years. The clubs represent summer, and that's the scholars of the deck. That's anybody who literally can learn just about anything they set their mind to. And then the third phase is the adult phase, which is our diamonds. And diamond people tend to be, even as children, they feel like they're adults. They don't like to be told, diamond children. And, and then from there it goes, well, and it's diamonds are also not just about our material things, but they're also on the deeper sense is they come here to examine values and figure out really what their values are in this lifetime. And then the last deck, which is winter, is the spades people, and they're kind of the old souls of the deck, and we come and I think we just kind of hang out to mentor those. I don't know what we're here for.
Well, you know, yeah, I'm in the deck about the kids.
What's that?
You know, I said, I must be on the deck. What is the one about the kids that never grow up? Because I think that's my suit, but it really isn't. So I always think to myself, I must have been in the wrong suit. I must have been born in diamonds, and I really should be in what, hearts? Or I was in hearts, and I should be in diamonds. But, you know, I'm always confused.
You have both, though. So you have... Your ace of diamonds is your birth card, but your ace of hearts is your planetary ruling, your rising, you know, it'd be like the ascendant. It's a planetary ruling card. So you have an ace of diamonds and an ace of hearts. You do. You have both.
Oh, good. Well, then I can be that kid, and I can be in the second soul window because if Susan Z is listening, she'll tell you she has to pull me out kicking and screaming, and I haven't gone yet. So go ahead, Kelly, because like I said, I'm sorry for interrupting you, but, you know, that's how I am. So go ahead.
That's all right. I don't mind. I can deal with that. All righty.
You can.
So that's, you know, and it's just it's a system that was developed, you know, I'll say eons ago. And, you know, I'm not positive of all the nuances of it, but I know it's very mathematical. I know they've figured out the readings for each card for like 100 years. It's like from birth, they start at the 0 year, the birth year, and then they go all the way up to year, you know, 99. And then, but it runs in, I'll say, 45-year cycles. And it's like, that's not the only thing that runs by 45s. It's like they've also discovered, you know, science and people who study things, that we learn on a learning curve, children and, well, even all, you know, all of us. It doesn't matter whether it's a child or an adult learner. You have 45 minutes, kind of what they call on the upswing where you're taking in new information to your brain, and then the next 45 minutes, you spend reviewing that. So it's really a 90-minute cycle. So that's kind of what this runs on to. And, of course, there's also the sine waves, and there's things with, electrical things, you know, the megahertz and that kind of stuff where they vibrate at certain speeds and so on. And our speed happens to be at age 45 is what people call the rebirth year. 44 is a pre-birth year. 45 is a rebirth year. And that's also likened to what they call the midlife crisis, or what Mundania calls the midlife crisis, where you all of a sudden you come back to where your cards were at the 0 year, and you go, you know what, I've had 45 years on this planet. I'm going to, you know, kick this up a notch. And they do. And that's when people go, oh, my goodness, I don't know you anymore. You used to be like this, and now you've changed and whatever. But it's like that's just part of that growth cycle. People are into the growth. They go, yeah, because, you know, I spent this first 45 years learning this, and then you literally set the tone for that, you know, second 45-year phase, you know, it takes you up to year 90 and whatever. So we were actually meant to be a much longer living species than what we sometimes currently are. So,
well you know what? That's right. You know what, Kelly? Hopefully one day we will be immortal flesh-wise, because we are anyway spirit-wise. But I do have to tell you, Steph, I don't want the wrinkles, so they'd have to, like, find the youth pill where we can look like we're 20 but we're really 220. But I have to tell you, you know, because I'm a counselor and that midlife year, I lectured on that, and that is so cool. And Susan V wrote the book, Soul Windows, Secrets from the Divine, and she calls it the Chiron Return. It's a little couple years later for her, but it is so interesting. It's where you reevaluate. You've got to read the book. It's too cool, and I love it. And I always say that because on our show, there's only certain books that I really, really, really always go back to, and I have a lot of them because there's a lot of good authors. But Susan's book is so cool because it takes you through the soul windows of life, and that's kind of like what your cards are doing. But can we? Yeah. I'll tell you what I've got the first. I've got callers waiting. So, Kel, do you mind if I take the first caller?
You betcha. Go for it.
Okay, I have 720, and the last four are 6204. So you're going to go for it. Hi.
Hello. Hi, lady. Good afternoon.
Hello. Hello, hello. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Michelle in Colorado.
Oh,
hi, Michelle.
Hi.
How are you today? You have like the best luck. So did you want your life card reading?
Yes, I did, definitely. And I I'm wondering, can you guys see in this reading, like, who are good deities? Because I'm really starting to research and putting some new mantras into work for me. And so I'm just wondering, can you see which deities, you know, I maybe need to work with more in the reading at all?
Well, it's interesting. A combination of Bonnie and I both.
Okay. Yeah, it might be a combination of us. But you know what? I let me tell you something, because this is a really good time to this is a great time to address this. There are two things that they say that we shouldn't really give anybody. One is your gatekeeper. We can see them, but you have to find them. And the other is your deities. And I'll tell you why. Wait a minute. My son just walked in. Give me one. Okay. Can you please put that away? Thank you. And the other one is, I'm sorry, you know, 20-year-olds. And the other is your deities. And I'll tell you why, because even when I went to take a course, I can probably see some of them for you, but like I always resonated, and you heard me in the last show, with Rome. And the deities that far back for Cleopatra were Isis, Aphrodite in Rome, excuse me, Egypt it was Isis, and in Rome I think it was Aphrodite. So you have to resonate, and that's the problem with anybody telling you. You have to find one, what era and where you resonate the best with, because they're very different energy. So that's why, you know, I could tell you by talking to you what I think they are, but you really pick your own deities.
Okay. No, no, I know that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm asking is, you know, depending on, or maybe, I don't know if you know or not, but depending on, like, you know, your birth chart, like your last guest was talking about, when you actually come in here, there are certain deities that are, like, strong that you want to work with, not necessarily use them as, you know, the deity that you, you know, are working with constantly, but there's information, like there's actual, you know, gifts and information that are set up like in your chart for certain deities.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm wondering if you guys can kind of see like any of those.
Well, I'm going to,
because
I'm going to refer the one
that I'm working with. Yeah, I've already picked.
Yeah, Ron would be the one you'd have to ask. He does all the astrology, but Kelly does too. So Kelly, maybe in your reading you'll pick it up, but I will tell you this about deities. I thought I resonated with one, and I did, and it actually I really resonated with a group of them. So I love that you work with deities, and I do see that they're in your chart, but really they're past live things, and that would be in your chart too. That would be more Ron. I could pick up your past life, but I really believe we pick our own deities by what we resonate with. So, Kelly, if you can start doing her life cards, maybe you can pick them up.
Okay. What I need is just your month and your day and your current age.
Okay. It is 8/13, and I am now 38.
I missed that last part. I'm sorry. My phone's kind of cutting
out. I'm now 38. So it's
8/13,
and I'm 38.
38. Okay. 13. Oh, cool. Cool numbers. All right.
I know.
Let's see. The 13th. Okay. One day behind there. Oh, wow. Okay. So you are very Leo here, and you are a lady king of clubs. And because Leo has the same planetary ruling card, that makes it like twice. So I will say what I know right now is any of the gals that have a king as their birth card, sometimes it makes it, I'll say, problematical for suitors because you have a lot of power, and a lot of times gentlemen don't appreciate the fact that they might not be the king of the castle you might be.
Oh, I love that, girlfriend. I love that.
So they don't always take that really well. Anyway.
But from one Leo energy to the next, I love it. Go ahead. Sorry.
All right. No, that's fine. What I'm going to do here is go across because each of the planets in this system is kind of a main focus for about 52 days. So, and you can come back and get this in archives. But your Mercury time started, of course, because this goes from your personal year. And that, of course, started on August 15th, and then it went to October, let's see, where did we go here, October 4th. October 4th started your Venus time, and then that went until November 25th. November 25th, you started in with Mars, and that went all the way up to January 17th. So you just barely got out of Mars, and you're into your Jupiter time frame right now. It started January 17th, and it goes till March 10th. So this is the most blessed time of the year for you right now, this midtime. After you get out of Jupiter comes Saturn. It's like, you know, first you get to expand, then Saturn comes in, and you get some contraction. So you get it's the hardest part of the year. So Saturn is from March 10th until May 1st. You start the Uranian time frame May 1st, and that goes till June 22nd. And then you've got Neptune from June 22nd until till your next birthday. So right now, like I said, you just are in the Jupiter frame there. And let's see what kind of stuff is on your agenda for this year and what is important to you and what you're focusing on. Let's see here. Oh, you've got a lot. You're very diverse. Let's say for starters, you've got a Three of Diamonds as your long-range card. Brings in a lot of creativity. It also is a year where you're really exploring your values. And it could be, it could be something like, you know, you're working two or three jobs at one time. It could be, you know, you're exploring different modalities of spirituality. You know, a lot of different things go on with those threes because they're just really, really got a lot to them. Let's see who, what else it has to say for you. And somehow, yeah, you're at a fork in the road this year in terms of values. And that is, you know, that is pretty much your main focus. It's like, you know, what do you want? You know, you want this, do you want that? What's your relationship to money? What's your relationship to love? You know, what do you think about those? What's most important to you? Those questions are more likely to be uppermost in your mind this whole year as you progress through the year, because this is one of the yearly cards. Experimenting with new avenues for satisfaction in work and love and finances. When we allow ourselves to explore alternatives, often we lose the momentum of our present focus, and that can result in less success financially. We kind of, you know, it's kind of a scattering of your forces, and you have, you know, a little bit less to devote. You're not so one-eyed, I want to put it that way. It's like, you know, you're kind of placed and you're not really devoted to any one particular project or endeavor for the year. That being the case, it's important to remember that you make those experiments. Don't let your lack of success turn to worry, though, because that's the other part of the threes. They're highly creative, but if things don't work out exactly, people tend to worry with them. So don't get on the worry train. Yeah, I know. It's a really, you know, again, it's a highly creative influence. It's got to be put to work in constructive, positive ways. Otherwise, you get too preoccupied with money and indecision. And really, you need to experiment, and you express that creativity this year. And it's like, you know, kind of later on, you're going to decide which avenue is the best for you for long-term satisfaction. But you're going to find several avenues of income this year and learn how diversity can be more profitable, you know, in the times that we're in with changing times. And this kind of goes back to a really old one about not putting all your eggs in one basket. But your keywords for this, it's a year of creative money pursuits or worry and indecision about money. So it just kind of depends on where you want to focus. It says, I will focus on diversifying my sources of income. So those are your keywords, what you write on the 3x5 index card and look at that in the bathroom mirror every morning, is a year of creative money pursuits or worrying indecision about money. I will focus on diversifying my sources of income. And if you want to put note to self, and I'm going to be positive about it.
And that's diversifying my sources of income, right?
Right. It's finding finding several different ways of bringing money in. It's like, you know, you might start up, you know, something like you might have like a part-time job, or you might do like 3 or 4 at home. Like part-time, like on the computer, you know, work at home type of thing. So it's like, you know, any manner of different things, you know, just different things. And this is the year, it's like it's encouraging you to go ahead and try that, because this is definitely the year to do it. So far what you've been through in your year, and just kind of read back through the cards, you had the Queen of Spades, which is about self-mastery, and you also had a Three of Hearts. You got a lot of threes in the air this year. And that was in your Mercury time frame. So that relates back to that first date. And then your the Venusian time, you had a Three of Spades and an Eight of Hearts. So it was a time of really, again, some, you know, experimenting, some indecision. There might have actually been, you might have been working yourself so hard that you might have had some health issues or something come up, or, you know, kind of got down a little bit. But at the same time, you had that Eight of Hearts, which kind of is an indicator that it's very much a powerful card. And you very much had mastery of emotions and emotional things in relationships. So you could have been bringing someone in, you know, you could have been dating several and, you know, brought somebody in, or, you know, whatever, got the person you wanted to date at least. In the Mars time frame, which you just finished up with, you have the Ten of Hearts and the Four of Diamonds. And again, there is four, it talks about our stability, really looking for a way to stabilize a little bit. Ten is one of the blessed cards, you know, any of the tens, it gives you certain blessings. This was blessings in your social circle. So it's like somehow or other your social circle interacted to help you be a little more stable with your finances. Now you come into Jupiter, and you've got a Nine of Diamonds with a Five of Clubs. And that nines and the odd number ones are usually more problematical. The caveat is, except when they are in the Jupiter time frame, because that usually makes anything that happens a little less traumatic. It's like it's a little less hard than it could be. So with that Nine of Diamonds, it could mean affluence. It could also mean in spending or investing large sums of money, which, you know, means you have to have the money to spend it. What's that?
That's my card.
Yeah.
She can't have that card.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sounds okay. But it can be a large sum of money, either both made or lost, all in this period. You know, it's like think of the gambler, you know, sitting at the gambling table and you got like, you know, piles and piles of chips and all of a sudden they roll it on one. It's like, oh, came in, went gone. You know, so it can be something like that. But it indicates some extravagant taste and possibly some poor judgment with money. So just be aware of that, which that can lead to that financial loss to the point of almost discomfort. But you can find satisfaction in matters that involve charity or the community service. It's also likely that some kind of job or occupation could come to a close at this point, but if it does, it'll probably be one of the better endings you've had in your life. It'll be easy, perhaps financially actually protected. If you resist any endings that occur now, you're only depriving yourself of the wonderful changes that are moving you forward to a new and better stage in your life. So there's going to be, because nines always indicate, you know, that as one door closes, another door opens. So you may be experiencing, and this is what's coming into the Jupiter time frame, some things are going to close, but as they close, other things are going to open. And with that underlying five of clubs, in that Jupiter time frame, it does indicate it's now time to make a change, because the fives are all about changes, a change in your work or profession. You may want to make a change that allows you more freedom or better financial returns. It could take the form of a profitable business trip or changing the nature of your business or location, you know, kind of getting into a different field or, you know, branching out, like, say, you know, several different ways. It's a really good influence for sales and marketing of products and services. You know, get the word out about what you're doing. You might be surprised at the result you get, but also make sure there's something you really believe in. But even if your plans need to change unexpectedly, that Five of Clubs influence promises any changes are going to lead you to something better and more rewarding financially. So it's just, you know, you got some endings, you know, endings coming in and got some changes coming up, and it's like, and don't, you know, it's kind of like, don't worry about it, just kind of roll with the tide, kind of go with that flow, and, you know, because you do have that certain amount of financial protection there. You get into Saturn, and that's, you got the Queen of Diamonds and the Ten of Spades there, and those are at least positive cards. It's like you've got kind of the, I'm not going to say negative cards, but you've got more challenging cards in the good time frame. And you've got really good cards in a more challenging time frame. So let's see what that has to say. Let's see. What did I say? That was the Queen of Diamonds and the Ten of Spades. Okay. Ten of Spades and Saturn. And this is kind of how everything kind of comes out as I'm doing these kind of a little bit backwards. But this is going to be the net outcome. It promises success through hard work. Possibly in either the healing or medical field. So if you had any inclination to that, you know, it could be with energetics, could be regular traditional nursing, you know, it could be the energy work, you know, whatever. But this influence also brings the ability to recover from illness and overcome problems through perseverance and determination. You might feel you're paying a high price for success now because work is harder. And Saturn, anything is. It's always harder. And with many demands on your time.
I hate that
freedom,
Saturn.
Yeah, yeah. And,
I hate and that Saturn. I really do.
Now. Yeah.
I really do.
Right now. But that hard work, the nice thing is on your Saturn, when you work hard, it's going to bring you the success that you want. So that's the, you know, that's the positive outbeat of that one. What's that Queen of Diamonds? The Queen of Diamonds in Saturn. Let's see what that's got to say. You've got better than usual business and sales ability during that period, but now this is where you got to watch your mind, your mindset. If you have any fears of poverty, that can actually hamper your efforts to get your, you know, the finances that you want. So just kind of be careful that you don't spend beyond your means on items you really, you know, cannot afford or might not really be absolutely necessary, because those expenses could even affect your health. You know, if it's not checked, you're more prone than usual to worry about the money. This is in the Saturn time. So this is not Jupiter time. This is Saturn. But use that time to work steadily in your business. What's that? Go ahead.
No, I have a spirit with me, and she's so feisty. So when you're done, I don't know who she is.
I got to say, no, go for that right now. I'll pause for that. It's like, if they're feisty,
No, she's chattering in my ear. So you go ahead, because this will be long. So go ahead. I mean, not real
okay.
long, but I do auto writing. So go ahead, Kelly. Go for it, girl.
All righty. Sounds good. So, yeah, this is just, you know, work steadily at your business for more success later. So Saturn is a lot of work, you know, and that's both of these cards are indicating, you know, there's going to be, you're going to work and work and work some more, and that's okay. You know, just make sure you're taking time to rest in between work. Get your sleep and rest at night, okay? You go into the Uranian time frame. You've got a seven of diamonds and a jack of clubs. The sevens are always about faith. It's, you know, I always, that song just pops in, you know, have a little faith and love will come to you. And it's like, well, it's not quite the seven of diamonds, but the seven of diamonds can bring unusual either loss or outlay of money. So this is, everything's got, I shouldn't say everything's got money, but there's a lot of stuff you have in your chart this year about money. Or a situation with real estate or, you know, labor employees or, you know, speculation that just kind of leaves you feeling worried about money. So, again, it's your mindset. Just make sure that you're not worrying about the money. You're given an opportunity now to experience an unfettered knowingness of prosperity and abundance if you want. All you have to do is practice appreciation and follow your intuitive knowingness that you're safe and protected in the abundance of this magnificent universe. It's a really good influence for spiritual matters, learning new spiritual information, attending classes, and so on. Just keep in mind that a positive card like a 4, 8, or a 10, let's see, what was in that other position there? Okay, that's Saturn, yeah. It's going to be, this is Uranian time frame. Now you got a jack in there. You got that jack of clubs in there. Okay, so it will offset problematic situations, but we're going to go check the jack for a minute real quick and see what the jack is going to do with us, because, yeah, it's jack is in the world, but they do different things. What's that?
I don't like those jacks either. You're always telling me the jacks are the sneaky card. So, I mean, you know, we throw them out,
the
jacks
are
let's
sneaky.
Get rid of the jack, and let's get rid of all the cards that don't give us abundance. And the ones with the Saturn thing, you just cut them out and stick them somewhere. Okay, go ahead.
That would still not work. That wouldn't give us balance.
Who wants balance?
What's balance?
Perfect.
It's hard to teeter totter with one person. That's what you think of as balance, okay? You got to play the game.
Yeah.
Let's see. But that jack of clubs in the Uranian time frame, it's a very powerful and productive influence for mental pursuits, especially those where you need creative ideas. So that's when you're having that three. That's the other thing is, forgot that one. Is make sure you've got one of those little. Like, you know, notepad things or, you know, like the spiral bound or, you know, whatever. Carry those, like, you know, pen and pocket thing. And when you get creative ideas, write them down, date them. You know, it doesn't matter how outrageous you might think they sound or whatever. Just write them down. Don't censor them because you have, you know, there'll be time frames in the year, you know, when you go, man, I wish I had a good idea. And you go back to your little book and you go, yeah, I had a great idea. Let's go with that. You know, so it's saving your ideas for later. It's kind of like putting them in the jar and on the shelf and going, I need it now, so I'm taking it down. But the ideas and inspirations you get now are really going to be far ahead of their time, and it's going to lead you to further success. You might have some psychic experiences, you know, as your mind is attuned to very high vibration in the Uranian time frame. If you know any males with a club suit, they are going to be somewhat unpredictable this year. Give them the space and freedom that they need to be who they are. Because, yeah, okay. Or any of the club males that you know may be acting strangely or leaving you feeling uncertain about their intentions or commitments. And it's just best to let them go their own way and maintain an open friendship. So that's where the jack fits in with that one.
Okay.
Interesting stuff there. Let's see. And then you've got the very last one. You've got the Queen of Hearts, which is a marriage card, under Neptune. So let's see what that's got to say here. Because that's always, and I didn't ask if you were, you know, currently in a relationship or married or not or whatever, but.
Divorcing soon, so yeah.
Divorcing soon, okay, that makes sense because the Mars, okay, that's what that Mars time frame was about. Because you had, okay. Yeah, and actually, it'll because of the cards you have with Mars, with that Ten of Hearts and the Four Diamonds in there, that, you know, the Mars time talks about, you know, legal and males and that kind of stuff. It's going to be a better outcome than you would think it will come out to be. It's like it's going to come out, I'll say, pretty much in your favor. Okay, if that makes sense.
Definitely.
Okay.
Well, you know, the spirit.
Go ahead. Go for it.
Okay. No, because you're wanting to stop it. I don't know who this is, and I'm hoping you do. Oh, my God, she's such a feisty character. I love her, though. She's got a great personality. So I'm really not sure if you know who this is because you're young, so I'm not quite sure if you know if it's a grandmother or an aunt. It doesn't look like a mother to me. But go ahead, Kelly. Go for it because I know you're wrapping it up. But this woman is in my ear, and she's a feisty character.
I'm gonna guess that she's got something to say about the divorce coming up or something there. So it's like, you know, don't let him push you all over. But anyway, Queen of Hearts in the Neptune time period is likely to bring a romantic or idealistic intimate encounter. Can bring a secret lover. However, all your personal relationships seem to take a romantic glow that fulfills your dreams. So if you've been dreaming about marriage this year or something like that, it's like if you're looking for a better relationship, this might be the time you might just find something very unexpected. The only thing I will really say, though, is with this, when it comes in like this, is make sure that you don't have the rose-colored glasses on too hard because they talk about Neptunian dreams can turn into when it changes because that's the last time frame right before your birthday. They can turn into the nightmare. So make sure that during the Neptune time you take the rose-colored glasses off so you don't wake up to the nightmare on year 39.
Yeah, no way that's fascinating. I have to meet them first, and then I'd have to get to know them. So.
Oh, yeah.
Thank goodness, you know, you said that, but I got to really work on getting rid of this one, and once I get rid of him, I'm going to enjoy being me again. And then, you know, I could beat another, but I'd still have to get him known because I haven't met him yet. So
yeah.
I hate to tell you, this woman says you can't pick him if you try, so I'm sorry. I don't want to say that on air, but it's just from the spirit. But, I mean, I'm telling you, she's been in my ear the whole time. But, Kelly, can you pick any deities? Like, if she's a Leo energy, I know my deities from Rome because I really resonate with love, romance, relationships, and that was what my job was besides spirit, you know, medium spirit. So mine are Athena, you know, it's Isis from the Egyptian and then Aphrodite from, you know, Rome and that. So I do all the deities in love. Do you have anything? I mean, I know what I'm getting with her, but I'm not quite sure. What deities do you work with, Michelle? Is it Michelle?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The ones that, I don't really work with any, you know, I mean, like I don't worship them or anything, but the ones that I guess I could say that currently, like I don't have like altars or any of that. But as far as like Lakshmi, you know, I definitely do the mantras because that's really what I'm looking for is like which mantras should I start. I do Lakshmi mantras. As far as I have her oils as well, I also have Gaia. You know, Gaia.
Yeah.
Because
I was just going to give you another one. Diana is a good one for you, and Gaia and Diana go hand in hand. So that's fabulous. So, but anyway,
I will tell you what. I have one that popped in here. What she needs to explore or look into is called they're called the Hathors. It's spelled Hathor, I believe, and I think if you go to a guy by the name of Tom Kenyon. I think it's TomKenyon.com, something like that, deals with them. They're very old, I'll say very earth-oriented, something like that. You might just consider checking them out because they have got some very powerful, very interesting things that you can do, you know, with working with earth energies, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Would be worth your while to check that out.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting with her, too. You're welcome, honey. Before I let you go, I've got to give you this message. And, oh, my goodness gracious, I'm going to try to give it in as less time as I can because she just heckled me the whole time. Do you know who this is? You know, is it a grandmother, great-grandmother? She's really funny.
It could actually be a grandma or a great-grandma because both of mine are passed on. If it's on mom's side, then it's a great-grandma. If it's on my dad's side, it's a grandma.
Okay, well, let me describe her. And not all the time do they come through like you know them, okay, because they just show me things. But I see like slippers on her feet. I don't know. It's not shoes. They're kind of slippers. And her hair is kind of different, like sticks out you know, in certain places. But that's what she's giving me. She said, King of the Castle, and she talks like this. She's very, very feisty. So, like, when you were talking with Kelly, she said, King of the Castle, she doesn't need to work with deities. She is a deity. So that was kind of, you know, the sense of humor that she has. And she says, work with them. She said, all she has to do is work with her own energy. She needs to work in her cooking, not her deities. So whoever didn't like your cooking, or maybe the stink to cook, or I don't know. But and then
nobody
rats
out better than a relative on the other side.
And I mean, she was out of it. And then she's showing me the colors purple and black. So I'm not sure whether they were colors she wants you to have, whether you like those colors or whatever. But she's showing me that she was showing me the colors of purple and black. And she said that you need to put some obsidian stones around. And she's showing me five stones in a bag. So I don't know if the bag is purple and black on one.
Oh, my gosh. Mom, you're scaring me. Oh, my goodness. She's showing you an actual bag that I have. That is the bag I put stones in. And in that bag, there are five stones in there right now.
Well, honey, wow. I'm going to tell you, this woman is just, I'm glad I could help you because I love this woman. She's so funny. She's like me, only she's older. But she, she's just got her, if I were going to imitate her, she'd have her hand on her hip, although that's not how she's coming across. But she, and then she said, when she was talking about eggs, Kelly was talking about eggs, she was, what eggs? She wouldn't eat an egg if you threw it at her. Now, I'm not sure what that means, or if you don't like eggs, you don't eat eggs. Or...
I'm vegan, I don't know.
Yeah. And then she said, metaphysics, she gets that from me. And then she said, you said something about the Queen of Diamonds. And she said, honey, she's a queen already. So, and then she said, what did she say? And she laughed. Because I auto write, and so sometimes I can't read. It says great. She says marriage. Oh, thank God, because she can't pick a man if she tried. And that was the last thing she said.
I do have a couple more words on about the King of Clubs in terms of relationship. It's like the female King of Clubs often has major challenges associated with either marriage, sex, or children, because the Queen of Hearts Pluto card can manifest a lot of different ways, but we always find some challenge connected in the lives of the female King of Clubs. They benefit from learning more about that particular card, which represents a lifelong transformation issues for them. Because the King of Clubs basically has good marriage karma, and they love the feeling of being in a close relationship, but there's aspects of marriage that are really challenging for a King of Clubs, and especially a King of Clubs female. One of the major challenges is the part that tells them, I'm going to lose my personal freedom in marriage. Freedom is a really important word for a King of Clubs person, something they treasure above all else, including sometimes a happy relationship. So you might say the King of Clubs has a problem around freedom, though it doesn't prevent them from getting married or settling down. But again, there's such powerfulness with a lady King of Clubs that it's going to take a special guy to be able to handle the power that she's got.
Oh, this woman. Okay, here's the last thing she says. She says, you just keep your own power, girl. That's what she said for you. So I hope you know who this is.
Which is the truth.
I hope you know.
Yeah, that's my great-grandma.
You know
that's my great-grandma.
Well,
so,
I am so happy.
Exactly who that is.
Yeah. I am so happy I could bring you through to you, and I hope that you've enjoyed your reading. And like Kelly said, I mean, go back to the archive. You're welcome, and I'm glad we could get you in today. And I need to get one more in or two more in. So we love you, Michelle, and will you please come back and visit us, like us, and, you know, okay, because, you know, I also have a Facebook, and so does Kelly, but I have a Facebook, Bonnie Mosenter Albers. You can either friend me or go to Bonnie Albers on Air. I really much prefer you to go to Bonnie Mosenter Albers. I think it's you can spell Mozenter. That's my maiden name. And that way you get all the show updates, and you can actually leave me a message on there, you know, if you want to hear something, or and also Blog Talk. If you go into Blog Talk, please like us, and you can even get in chat. I hope chat was running well today. Kelly, did you go to chat? Because you heard me tell you to go to chat, did you not?
Yeah, I'm just not. I'm over with the grandbabies today, and we don't have computer capability, so I'm lucky to be on the phone today.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah. I know I tried to get Susan in, but hey, go and chat with our co-host. That's a new thing. I mean, Susan just learned to get into chat. I can't chat, talk to, and auto write at the same time, so you'll never have me on unless it's in the beginning or the end. But please like us. Please, you know, come listen to us and let us know anything more. Give us a call and a shout out. But we love you, Michelle, and have a fabulous
day.
We
love you guys. Bye.
Bye. She was such a delight. We can only get one more in here, Kelly, and I'm going to take the last caller. Actually, it's Stacey John. You're on. Stacey John?
Hi.
Hi. I'm so happy to hear you. I'm happy you're getting in here today. How can Kelly and I help you?
If I could also get a life card reading, please.
Okay, Kel, you're
just
on.
Need this. Alrighty. I need the month and the day and your age, current age.
Sure. April 18th, and I'm 29.
April 18th, and you are 29 this year. That sounds like a very familiar day, because that is. My son-in-law is born on the 18th, and you are three diamonds. Your three diamonds birth card, and you have a seven of diamonds as a planetary ruler. Just a little bit about threes of diamonds, people. You know, you guys have a tremendous amount of creativity, and yet at the same time, if you don't kind of harness that creativity and keep those, you know, good ideas for when times when also you don't have it, because it goes and flows. You lose the edge. Okay. So what you need to make sure you're doing is when you get those good ideas, again, this is the pocket pal moment, is like write down your awesome, amazing ideas because you have them. And then for a time when you're going, man, what should I be doing? It's like, you know, you pull those back out and say, yeah, I had this idea. But the three of diamonds is a financial, it's called the card of financial creativity. And interestingly enough, it's also considered one of the most difficult life paths of all the cards, especially when you're a woman, because you've got the Queen of Diamonds as your personality and karma card, which is the other, second most difficult card in the deck. So you really came in with some wanting apparently to challenge this life. A lot of times you've got indecision in values is a lot of the things that you're here to overcome, along with past life relationships, and you've got some karma stuff. You've got Six of Hearts as a karma card can result in a lot of challenges with your affections. You could also be one of the biggest worriers about finances. All threes are guilty of worry and indecision. You know, you got to find some constructive outlet for your overactive mind. But the best remedy is to find some expression of your creativity. You've got to express yourself. And when you're doing that, expressing your inner creativity, it's like likely you're going to find a financial means that's going to be an outcropping of that. And it's like you're just going to kind of, you know, slide into it like an old shoe fit. It's going to be really good. You've got a natural interest in metaphysics, and you kind of need to cultivate that if you're going to know more peace in your life and overcome many hurdles and temptations. Yeah. But really, you've got a mind that can penetrate the secrets of the universe. You just have to apply that. Among those secrets lies the understanding about your own self, about your life, about your personal karma that you're here to deal with. And that understanding, just understanding that, brings a lot of peace into your life. You always know right from wrong, though sometimes you try to ignore what you know, and you're not going to be successful with that, because when you ignore that, it's like it's going to slap you upside the head and say, hey, guess what? So you want to make sure you're operating out of the high side of that card, and when you are, you're extremely creative and productive. You express yourself in a multitude of productive ways. Really, you can be one of the greatest either, like, entertainers or public speakers, you know, if you choose to do, you know, that kind of line. You've got a very powerful mind and usually a powerful voice to match. With that voice and the mental resources to back it up, you can be one of the most effective promoters once you've found something you really believe in. So I'm thinking, you know, like advertising, you know, promoting, you know, like, I don't know, if you're at the sports events or, you know, beauty events, you know, whatever it is that you really want to you know, put your heart and soul into, it's like you're going to be very effective at doing that. And there's a side note that says, consider yourself lucky if you have a three of diamonds person promoting your products or services, because you guys just, you can sell, let's see, how's the phrase go? You can sell snowballs to Eskimos, okay? That's the kind of promoter you are, all right? In relationship, you
well,
run
you
neck
sound
and neck
like...
with that. What's that? Go ahead.
Oh, I don't... But I mean, just being, you know, magnetism, you know, because I think that's the snowballs to snowballs type thing. Anyway, go ahead.
Right. Let's see, but there's a lot of creativity in that card. You come into this life feeling like there's just boundless realms to explore and experience. At some point, you also realize that you've got tremendous fears of abandonment or betrayal that you've got to deal with along the way. That can manifest as either multiple relationships or just chronic indecision regarding matters of love and marriage. You've got to be able to deal with your own insecurities first, or you're going to choose to have, you're going to choose to kind of date a lot, just kind of, you know, date, play the field, as they used to call it in my day. Let's see, you've got a seven of hearts in Venus, which tells us that you're learning to let others be as they are, and to be able, that helps you to heal your own fears of betrayal and abandonment. You've got, with that first karmic card, that six of hearts, you arrive in this life with a tendency, sometimes when you're younger, you know, to be a little bit thoughtless about other people's, you know, feelings, you know, a little bit of the carefree nature, and it can leave other people feeling maybe uncertain about your affection. So in this time, you are learning the value of being consistent with your love and affections, and of course it takes time, so, you know, most of your romantic happiness comes a little later in life. It's like, you know, you're just getting into that time frame, you know, 29 is going, okay, you know, 30s, that's about right. And that can be okay because, you know, it talks about threes of diamonds have romantic drives to, you know, sustain relationships for, you know, eons, for, you know, for a long time. With that, I'm going to look at that seven of diamonds as your planetary ruler because the sevens are always about faith. It can make you also lucky with money, the lucky sevens, okay, but it can also make you worry about money more than you should. It's a really high spiritual influence that brings success by helping you let go of concerns. You've got the potential to become a millionaire if you adopt a fearless attitude about your finances, and it gives you a lot of creativity, especially when it comes to promoting and selling. You probably have really strong family values and feel that your family is one of the most important things you have possibly in your life ever. You can be very stubborn, especially about what you want and don't want, and about the ways you handle your finances. So, you know, this is you came into a very, you know, I'll say you chose, you know, a very challenging life path, which is all right because some of us need challenges. In this day and time and whatever that you're doing this year, I'm just going to take a look and see what you have going for the 29th year. Because you're
actually
coming
up to this.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's actually coming up to the, I'll say almost to the end of your year, and it's like, I really hope you call back, and it's like, we'll do this more at the beginning of your year, when you're starting your year, because right now, I'm going to give you where your breakdown is for your personal planets and that kind of stuff. Your Mercury time frame, of course, starts at the 18th of April on your birthday. It goes till June 9th. June 9th starts your Venus time frame. And that goes through July 31st. July 31st starts your Mars time frame, and that goes through to the Jupiter time frame. Jupiter starts September 21st, and that goes through to November 12th. Saturn starts on November 12th and goes to January 4th. You're actually in your Uranian time frame right now. It started January 4th, and it'll go to February 25th. And then from February 25th to your birth date is the Neptune time frame. So right now you're in the last two, I'll say, moments or whatever of your cards this year. And you've got, and what did you have? Wow. You had a five of spades as your long-range card this year, and five of spades is called the card of the wanderer. So probably, I'm going to just take a stab out there and say probably you had a lot of restless energy going on this year. It's the strongest indicator of, like, travel or moving your home or your business. But on a deeper level, it just means a change. You're going to have somehow a change that affects what you do every day, a change of lifestyle. It can indicate changes in your work or health. As well, you can be faced with the need to make basic changes in your lifestyle that could affect every area of your life. In some cases,
This card just reflects changes in your work environment or the way you conduct business day-to-day, but it indicates a lot more fundamental changes, either in your residence, lifestyle, or health. Underneath all those changes, it's likely to be an inner restlessness. It's just the time has come for you to kind of move in new directions. Of course, that kind of happens in your 29th year anyway. You go, what am I accomplishing? Because I'm coming up on 30 here. But the new directions could be in the area of work or location of your home. You could have a strong desire just to travel, you know, this year that sets you off on a great adventure. Hopefully those changes are going to be for the better. Your keywords for the year was it's a year of changes in work or health, travel, lifestyle, or one or more changes in residence. My life is changing in important ways. So that's really been, I'll just say, your theme for this year is like, you know, you've really had this changeability happening. The fact that you're, wow. And it came up again this in the Uranian time frame. You've got this Ace of Diamonds, there's Bonnie's card, and a Five of Spades, that Wanderer, again, in the Uranian time frame. So there's also indicators that there's going to be unusual things happen. You might have a change of some importance, like, again, a change of profession or a change labor force or business, something like that. So a strong indicator of sale of real estate, possibly, again, that change of residence, which might be unexpected. Changes of travel that happen now may happen unexpectedly or might leave you feeling somewhat insecure or unsettled, you know, just kind of things. It kind of feels like the rug is pulled out from you, okay? These changes are most likely overdue, though, and they're beneficial in a lot of ways. So it's like, you know, don't worry about it. If I don't know if you're familiar with the Snoopy characters with the Peanuts gang, but it's kind of like when Lucy came up and took away Linus's blanket so she could run it through the washer and dryer and then get back to him. That's kind of what that feels like. It's like, you know, you're having the blanket jerked away from you going, hey, wait a minute, I wasn't ready for that. It's like, but it'll be okay. Okay.
But hey, it comes out clean on the other side, right?
Exactly. It comes out better on the other side. You got it. That's precisely it. And then in the Neptune time period coming up, you've got a Seven of Diamonds, where it has unclarity and miscommunications could be the cause of situations that promote some feeling of worry about money or finances during that time period, and that's going to be the 52 days right before your birthday. At the same time, your chances of overcoming that fear are really heightened by the spiritual position of this card. You can rest assured that you can overcome any apparent lack of funds by practicing appreciation for what you have and realizing that your inner self is the source of all prosperity and wealth. It's kind of back to, if you've ever read the Rhonda Byrne, The Secret. So it's kind of like, you know, that attitude of gratitude. And, you know, when you get up in the morning, say, you know, thank you, thank you, thank you, you know, find all the blessings, you know, count your blessings and things you have to be thankful for. So it's really focusing in that time frame on appreciating what you have, not worrying about what you don't have, but appreciate what you do have, because that attracts, you know, when you appreciate what you do have, it attracts more things in that you can appreciate more, if that makes sense.
Right. Yes, it does.
Alrighty, that's kind of it in a nutshell. It's like, Bonnie, you got any words
to
listen to?
No, but we only have 2 minutes left, so I'm glad that. And please. But I have to tell you, Kelly.
Call back.
Call back on your birthday so she can go through your whole year. And actually, Kelly, we have one more caller, and I'm going to ask you to please stay on with us if that is okay.
Sure.
So I just want to tell everybody before we get off, and the caller knows who we're taking because they've been waiting for such a long time, and I said we would take them. I completely didn't see her number on here, and I know she has been waiting to talk to you, Kelly, for quite a long time. So the number is 908, and the last one is 0600. So you know who you are. But just to let everybody know, Kelly is an Atlantean life card reader. She is so fab. And Stacy, just to say, I'm letting you listen, but I'm going to mute you. But thank you for calling. Please keep with us. We have several other co-hosts you can call up. But please call Kelly back when your birthday is, because she'll give you a whole year's reading.
Thank you. I will.
You're welcome.
I can tell you that right off the bat is like you will go through a big shift because your upcoming one from year 29 to year 30, it's like all of a sudden you've got the Nine of Hearts. You go from the Five of Spades, that one of the position of the Wanderer, to a Nine of Hearts, and that is going to put a whole different twist on your year. So you'll have a whole new focus.
I love you, Stacy. Hey, Stacy, I love you. So anyway, I just want to tell everybody again. I have a guest. We added the show. His name is Gary Wimmer. He is a, and you know him, Kelly. He is
yes,
a, he
awesome.
Deals in lith romance.
He's a stone reader.
He's a stone reader. And I won't get into that kind of thing, but he reads stones. He throws stones, and he is just amazing. He's a great guy. I know him personally. He wrote a book called A Second in Eternity, and we are going to go over his book. It's a fabulous book. It's so interesting. I just am mesmerized by it. But we'll welcome Gary. It's going to be for an hour at 1 to 2 tomorrow, and we are so happy to have him. It was an added show. But anyway, Kelly, I want to thank you. I love you, girlfriend. You will be here again next Wednesday, 2 to 3. And thank you. And please stay on the line because we are going to have another caller. Thanks, everyone. Please join Susan and I tonight, 9:30. On A1R and give a call in A1R and we will answer your questions because we're doing Akashic Records again, guys. So give me a call and please like us. Yeah, please like us. We only have 2 weeks left on A1R. Please like us on Blog Talk. You can Facebook me. You can email me and get a hold of us. We love talking to our callers and listeners. Kelly adores what she does. If she didn't, she wouldn't be here. Kelly, we're off the air, but we're still recording, so I am going to let you talk to the next caller, and thank you, Kelly, for staying. Okay, who am I? Is this Caroline?
This is Caroline. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi,
Kelly.
Caroline.
It's a pleasure. Hi.
Hello.
You must be tired.
I just need to find out what your
fine.
I just need to find out what your month and day is and what your current age is.
Okay, October 9, and I'm 59.
October 9 and you're 59. Okay, October 9th person. Wow, this is what I talk about. I wish we were still on air. It's like hopefully people will go back and listen to this. This is what I talk about when I say energy. Energy comes. You are another. You're a king of clubs, lady. The difference is there with that Libra, you have a four of hearts as your planetary ruler. So again, most of the stuff, I don't know if you listened earlier to the little gal who was Leo, of course, it, you know, manifests a four. A king of clubs, Leo is very different from you got a lot of the same traits as the little Leo gal there. But the king of clubs is the master of knowledge. And literally, you sit atop the suit of knowledge and communication. You hold everything you need to be an authority in any area that you choose. You have a direct line to knowledge accumulated from many past lives. Rarely do you live your life by any doctrine or philosophy other than your own. And that wellspring feeds, you know, your mind, and it's an inexhaustible source. It comes from a high source. I call it God source energy. You're a person that lives by your own truth. And really, you can be found in, you know, all types of professions. Positions of responsibility. You're always respected in whatever capacity you're engaged in. It's like, you know, and you've probably been through this a lot. I'll say, you know, what the current age you're at. You've gone through a lot of these. Among the people who have this card are some of the most successful artists, statesmen, musicians in the world. Really, one of your greatest assets is the ability to make fine distinctions, and you have a witty and personable nature that makes people really like you. You're really popular and well-liked. You seem to do your best work with
like
a partner.
Yeah.
Yay. And most King of Clubs are destined to be in partnerships. For many King of Clubs, the challenges in life revolve around abuses and things, whether it's, probably in your generation, not so much, you know, drugs, but, you know, maybe alcohol or other form of escapism of some sort. You're also often emotionally very sensitive, and you have strong ties to a childhood that really had its share of challenges. In a quest to really understand and resolve those inner conflicts, you can go through all kinds of chapters in life, some of which seem to be the very opposite of your highest potential. But your makeup is such that you usually wake up, you know, kind of you have this revelation or wake up in your 30s. You move into that recognition of power and responsibility that is your birthright. And it is the most psychic card in the deck, so much so that your intuitive approach to life is second nature. Your greatest challenge lies in the concept of marriage and the occasional habit of getting into a comfortable rut, you know, not pushing yourself to your highest potential. But really, you've got a tremendous amount to give to the world, and you still do. It's like, you know, I'm going to say you're by far not done yet in this on this planetary face here.
Oh, thank God.
Yes, yes, yes.
Kelly, she's a friend of mine. So.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say it's the things you don't do that you're gonna regret later in life if you don't fully express them. But when you get the urge to do things, do them because you will regret not doing things if you don't do them. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you know basically we kind of talked a little bit about the little gal with her marriage and karma and that kind of stuff. So you know I'm not sure where you're at, whether you know you've had your lifelong love or whether he's still with you or whether he's on
no.
the other side.
No. No. No, not yet.
Not yet? Okay.
Coming, baby.
I was gonna say, all I can say is that my grandma kept saying, it's like, you know, there's no matter what the age, it's like there's a lid for every pot and a pot for every lid. So, you know, it's like if you have that desire to be in a relationship, there is somebody on this planet. Just remember there are like, you know, what, 6 or 7 billion people. So there's a lot of choices out there. And that's when you start going, God, I just need the one. That's all I need. I don't need him. Help me find that needle in the haystack because he's out there. Yes, he is. Let's see. What else here? I'm just going to kind of give a look at, because you're probably about in the middle of your year here. I was going to see where your actual times and stuff here are. So that was the 9. Okay. Yep, your Mercury time frame, of course, started on your birthday, and it went to November 30th. Your Venus time frame started November 30th and goes till actually today is January 22nd. So today is like the last day of Venus and the first day of Mars. So it's like you've got the first day of Mars right here, and that's going to be up until March 15th. March 15th, you start your Jupiter time frame. That's your really blessed time of the year. That goes through till May 6th. Saturn starts on May 6th and goes till June 27th. The Uranian time frame starts June 27th and goes till August 18th. And you've got Neptune coming in there August 18th until your birthday. So, yeah, you are just, you know, literally right now you just got out of Venus and you're just heading into Mars right now. And let's see what that is for this year for you. With 59th year. Your long-range card. Okay, you've got a Jack of Diamonds as your long-range card for this year. And I'm just going to, I want to see that because, yeah, Bonnie was kind of joking with me about this. Like, oh, no, get the Jacks away. It's like, yeah, but Jacks serve a purpose. Jacks, you know, there's a purpose for every card.
Yeah,
I know, but I hate those Jacks. I don't like them. I don't want them.
Really?
No, no. Thank you. No.
But it's actually called this. It's a card of financial success through salesmanship or creativity, and it's also the initiation of the higher values. So this being the long-range card, it is called the salesman's card. It's the card of successful entrepreneur. So it's like it's never too late to go into business for yourself. If those areas interest you, this is the year you could apply yourself to achieve a lot of success and prosperity. You're going to have many opportunities to put those qualities to work in your life, and they could do a lot for your pocketbook. Actually, this creative energy can be applied to any group business you're involved in with success. So think of ways you could use this. Everything involves selling of one sort or another. Watch a tendency to avoid taking responsibility or just the truth, you know, for your needs, which are other aspects of associated with that card. It can mean getting involved as a salesperson yourself at some point this year. Your powers to promote things you believe in are at an all-time high, so use them for great prosperity and happiness in your life. Jack of Diamonds is another important meaning for those interested in the spiritual side of life. It often represents an initiation into higher values. It could mean you are exposed to some new ideas or philosophies that could really radically change the things you want out of life, which could in turn affect, you know, your job or occupation in a big way. The key word is a year of financial success through application of creative ideas and salesmanship. I am initiated into higher values that bring more true happiness into my life. So that's really talking about your, you know, your, I'll say the spiritual side of things. Let's see, what else you got going here?
She loves the spiritual side of things, Kelly.
Yes. Yeah.
That is cool. Yeah. That is cool, yeah. And you've got, man, so you've got some really positive things. So you've got one, two. What you first started out with this year was the Two of Clubs and the Five of Diamonds and Mercury. So a little bit of changeability, kind of a little bit of, you know, the fives always bring that restlessness, but you would have had more success with being in partnership somewhere if you were, like, you know, taking a class or something. It involves some study there somewhere. in the Venusian time frame, again, you've got another two. You've got a two of diamonds and an eight of diamonds. So the eight of diamonds is a power card. I mean, all eights are, but it's like the eight of diamonds is a power card for finances, obviously. And there's that indication for with that two for, you know, for partnership. And I will say, if blog posts logs us off, because eventually, I mean, it's like they give us about an extra 10 or 15 minutes.
Yes.
So if it shuts off, it says, you know, what I'll say is, you know, call back, you know, we'll pick this up at another day and time.
Yes.
But that's,
thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
thank,
with
you,
Venus,
thank you. Thank you. That's, oh, my gosh, I can ask for
yeah.
more. It's so positive, so beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I guess in the Venusian time frame, though, it's like that would have been indicative of being, you know, if you ever had an inclination to do like Avon or Cincy, you know, things like that. It's like things that beautify the home, beautify the environment, you know, beautify, you know, things, you know, you really have success with that. In the Mars time frame, which is what you're just getting into today, you've got a three of clubs and a queen of clubs. So it's like the queens are always in that house of royalty. And that is really an indication of it's a lot of self-mastery, but you also have a tendency to mother hen everybody.
Yes. Yes.
Everybody is under your wing. That's a tick.
Yes.
And it represents an intelligent but aggressive or quick-tempered woman. Okay, we'll put it that way. For women, you know, you might she might show up as like an adversary. It's going to be somebody who has a strong will and some masculine
yes.
traits. So if it's you that are displaying any of those above characteristics, just be careful you don't arouse too much resentment or animosity in others. Be especially careful in your dealings with women during this time period. and you might find that there's, you know, some challenges with other women of the club suit, okay? So there might be
mm-hmm.
some anger issues. Just be very careful in Mars, because Mars tends to be the combative guy. So
yes.
And how long does that last? Kendall?
Only
so
52
March.
Days.
So March.
Only 52 days. Yeah. Right.
Oh, good.
Yep. And then
it'll
going
be
back
over.
To that tree.
Yeah, today's over.
Yeah. It'll be. Yeah.
Oh my.
It'll, yeah.
That's,
once it's passed, it's like yeah. You always, although I call it, it's kind of like what I call a watercolor wash. It's like, you know, you get certain things, you know, the cards you have for the year kind of like overlay, you know, kind of for the years, except in more pastel colors. The three of clubs in that Mars time frame, it can bring indecision in matters of dealing with either men or lawsuits or work. You might actually have difficulty thinking clearly or making decisions under pressure. Could cause you some loss of opportunities. In general, if you've got an overactive mind fueled by worry, it could be one of the main sources of problems. So, again, this is one of those where it's like, get a grip on your mind. It's like really, you know, really focus on the positive. Don't let negative things take over.
Yeah.
And it does say exercise care in all written and spoken agreements. And, you know, so really if you're entering into any kind of agreement, make sure you get out the magnifying glass and read the fine print or have an attorney look it over, okay?
Yeah.
Do things to relieve tension and anxiety to help you make better decisions. This is like, you know, get out, like the English do, get out and take your daily constitutional, you know, get out and take like a 30-minute walk every day. Get out and get some fresh air, okay, some fresh air and exercise. Because that really, it clears your mind. Fresh air is amazing. Okay, that other Mars card, yeah, told us that queen, what you're feeling, you know, good or creative about, and can also tell the outcome of the creative pursuit. So, again, that goes back to that queen that's there. So just be aware that you might have possibly another woman come into your life who might try to steamroller over you, but at least if they're going to steamroller over you, stand up straight, and they have to make a big bump in the road when they do it, okay?
Oh, my God. I think I know. I already think I know who it is.
Okay.
Well, it's
thank
not
you.
Me.
You probably do.
No, it's not you.
It's not me.
It's
not me.
It was a surprise. It was a big surprise.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Ah, man, let's see. I was going to say, that'll take you through Jupiter time frame. It's like, do call us back, though, because Jupiter, you've
yes.
got the seven of diamonds, and you've got the three of spades. The seven of diamonds in Jupiter is called the millionaire's card, but it involves work and that responsibility.
Card.
That is being the entrepreneur. So it's like, you know, you got to really be entrepreneurial when you're doing that. But you've also got a lot of other good cards coming in this year. So it's like, yeah. you know, call us back because, like I said, I hate it when Blog Talk just goes, you know, welcome,
yeah.
you know, sorry, you know, thank you for calling Blog Talk. It's like, and it's gone.
In 1 minute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, but yeah, call
thank
us back
you.
And then we'll get the
thank
rest
you.
Of you. Get
you
the
thank
best
you,
of
Belly.
You.
Thank you, Kelly.
You betcha.
That's so beautiful.
No problem.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
I love both
thank
of you.
You.
And thank you so much, Caroline, for calling. I adore you. The millionaire's card is mine, girlfriend, so you can't
no,
leave out
no.
with it. So, Kelly,
no.
switch
are
it
you
over
that
to
woman
me.
That's gonna get in the, no, are you that woman that's going to get in front of me and take my millions?
No.
I'll care
no.
about you. No,
Bonnie,
no.
Bonnie's
I'll
the ace of diamonds. She's up close.
Yes. So, but I will tell you, I love both of you. Your energies are fab. Kelly, I love you. I'll call you later. And Caroline, you know, the sky's the limit for you, girlfriend.
Beautiful.
Alrighty. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Ladies make me so happy, by the way. I live in
oh, you're very... Oh, thank you. You know, we love you. And please listen to everything. Listen to all our shows. We have great co-hosts.
Yes.
And because this
yes.
is being recorded, hopefully everybody will listen. Like me on
yes.
Blog Talk, like my shows. And everybody, just come back. And I've got fabulous, fabulous, fabulous co-hosts and guests. So, again, tomorrow,
yes.
which nobody's listening to, is Gary Wimmer. Kelly, you know Gary, so call in because
I know
you
Gary,
want a stern reading.
He's got two books, Bonnie. He doesn't just have that second attorney. He also got that book on lithomancy. It's like the art of reading stones. So he has both of those out. And I know he offers classes on those. Although I've been going to take one, he has some health issues, you know. But yeah, I want to find. I'll call in and bug him a little bit and say, okay, so when's that class, Gary?
Yeah, I want you to call in because you'll be his first reader. So, and also,
cool.
Caroline, if you want to call in, if you've never had a stone reading, it's really interesting. Again,
they're
I'll look for your number. So, all right, have a great evening. I love you, girls. Bye.
I love you, too. Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you, Kelly. Have a beautiful day.
Yes, you're welcome.
Bye-bye. Thank
have a
you.
Wonderful day. Bye.
Bye. Hey, Cal.
We'll talk to you again.
All right, bye.